Dobre došle. Today I was asked to speak on at least three things, namely the TOVP, that's the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, and then we have Gadadhara Pandit's Appearance Day. Then we have the Bhagavad Gita that we usually read from, and then maybe something else. And we have, what time is the RT? What time is the next program? And we have 25 minutes to do that. Any questions? How is anyone here for the first time? I'm the only one here who's for first time. Okay. Well, I think some of you may have attended the Abhishek of Gadadhar Pandit. Do they do it? I wasn't here, so I don't. Who do they do the Abhishek to? Do they do an Abhishek? Who was it to? What's that? The small one or big one? They have a small one. Oh, okay. So, Gadadhar Pandit is, we have five deities on the altar. They're called the Panchatattva. I guess everyone is familiar with them. And Gadadhar Pandit is, each one of the deities is a special personality. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he comes, he doesn't come alone. Or when Krishna comes, he doesn't come alone. He comes with his family. And he has a big family. And we couldn't fit them all on the altar, so we only put five of them. Besides that, we don't get enough Lakshmi to feed them all, so we have enough to feed five. But if we have in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can find how extensive his family is, because Lord Krishna has unlimited incarnations, and when he comes, he likes to bring them. He knows how difficult it is to convince anyone that he's God, so he needs a lot of support. Similarly, in Kali Yuga, it's even more difficult for anyone to accept God as God. Generally, people who are ordinary people, they accept as God, and they accept God as an ordinary person. In order to get around that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as an ordinary, seemingly an ordinary person, and he's accompanied by his associates who also take seemingly ordinary roles in the society. Lord Chaitanya is Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Nahi, Anya. He's a combination of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. And Advaita Acharya is a combination of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. And if you don't know who these persons are, you'll have to come back next week, because we don't have time to explain it all. And Gadadhara Pandit is also an incarnation of Srimati Radharani in a particular mood, the mood of Rukmini Devi. And then we have Srivas Pandit, who is Narada Muni. So it's quite a powerful combination. And they have their appearance days. And those days we celebrate those appearance days so we can remember them more, because according to what we're remembering, that's where our consciousness goes. And if we remember something spiritual, then our consciousness goes to something spiritual, and then we wake up, because we're also spiritual. Unfortunately, our consciousness is now mainly on the material energy, and the material energy has no consciousness. So that's why we're mostly unconscious, because there's nothing to be conscious of in the material nature. But when we become conscious of the spiritual energy, then we actually wake up to our identity, our spiritual quality of being blissful, of being conscious, aware, and our eternality, free from fear. Gadadhara Pandit, being one of the Panchatattvas, specifically comes in this age purely out of compassion for the conditioned souls in this age, which includes all of us as conditioned souls, unless we're on the liberated platform. And they come out of pure mercy and love in order to wake us up. And their activities are the manifestation of pure mercy and love, so they're quite beneficial to hear about. And Gadadhar Pandit especially shows us how to be submissive to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is essential in this age. We have to be submissive to someone. In general, we don't know who to be submissive to, so most of us aren't very submissive to anyone. Except when it's time to sleep, we're very submissive to our bed. We surrender to our bed. When it's time to eat, we surrender to the food and accept it without any hesitation. So, in some respects, we have the quality of submission, but the submission that we now have should be redirected to something which will actually permanently or eternally benefit us. So Gadadhar Pandit, we accept that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the original source of everything, including all happiness, all love, all pleasure, all consciousness, all beauty. Everything we find desirable is there in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can realize that the qualities that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting if we become submissive to him and to his devotees. So Gadadhar Pandit represents that submissiveness and sweetness and love and ability to try to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we hear about his activities, we might become inspired to follow his path and appreciate Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even more than we already do. Similarly, the others in the Panchatattva, they all have their cooperation in helping us understand the position of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, and his associates, for instance, Srivas Thakur, as an incarnation of Narada Muni, is probably the most powerful preacher in the universe. He has quite a list of disciples anyone would be proud of, like Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Prachetas, I guess Kangsa, listen to him, but not quite in the right way. But yeah, he has an imprinted part. He goes all over the universe spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere. Even the demons, as I said, Kangsa accepted him, Aranyakashipu, everyone accepts Narada Muni. We should also accept Narada Muni in the form of Srivas Pandit, who showed us how to be egoless, without ego, and participate in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similarly, Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master, and he shows us how to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by serving the Sankirtan movement. Today we celebrate Gadadhar Pandit's appearance day, and by doing so we hope to get a little of his mercy so we can get a little of his mood and become more submissive to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and participate more wholeheartedly and feelingly in the Sankirtan movement that he started to give everyone the opportunity to revive their relationship with Lord Krishna. With that in mind, we have a presentation of the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. How many devotees here know about the Temple of Vedic Planetarium? How many aren't quite sure what it is? How many don't want to raise a hand no matter what I say? This is good exercise, by the way. If you don't like our philosophy, at least you should like our exercise. So the TOVP, Temple of Vedic Planetarium, generally the Hare Krishna movement is not noted for in the Western world. People don't know very much or didn't know very much about the Hare Krishna movement, and probably most people still don't know anything about the Hare Krishna movement. I remember when I was distributing books at least in the 80s and 90s, people would come up to me in the airport and ask me why I became a Muni. You probably don't even know what a Muni is. It's a particular religious semi-religious organization from Korea, because they didn't know who the Hare Krishnas were. And that's when we were more prominent. And then when I was in New York, people would come up to me and ask, where do you guys go? You seem to have disappeared. Of course, we were a little bit prominent here in Slovenia because it's quite tiny. And therefore, if we go downtown once a week or twice a week, we stand out. But in a place like New York, you can go, you can have 10 Harinams there and people still won't know who you are. In any case, in order to advertise the Hare Krishna movement, because we do want to advertise it, everything nowadays seems to be based on advertisement. Unless you have tremendous advertisement, no one will even think that you even have any importance. When I first went to Poland to visit there in 1992 or something, 91, the fall of communism was there. And the Iron Curtain, whatever that may be, was let down. And Indra Dumaraj was doing programs there, and he just put up a little poster somewhere, and 100 people would come to his program. And I had my own little group, and we had put up a little poster, and I got 50 people. Now if you go to Poland and you put up 100 posters for a week, maybe you'll get 50 people. Maybe. Because now they're bombarded with all kinds of posters. When I went there, there were no advertisements. As a matter of fact, there were very few cars. A lot of horse and buggies. And we may think it was quite primitive, but the atmosphere was actually quite nice. People were quite receptive to Krishna consciousness. And now they're very receptive to all the advertisement that goes on. Everyone has their mobile phone. Babies are born now with mobile phones in there. If it's a real mother, the baby has a... Everyone has to have a car. Everyone has to have their computer, go on the internet, Facebook. If you have a face, you must be in the Facebook. Otherwise, you must be faceless. So, we want to spread Krishna consciousness. We also have to have some propaganda or some advertisement, something that people will respect. One time I wrote to Srila Prabhupada about changing our temple in Austin, Texas, from one place to the next. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's a very good idea. He said, if Bhaktivedanta sat underneath the tree, no one would come and listen. And therefore we have these buildings so people can come and they can actually listen to what is Krishna consciousness. Similarly, in Mayapur, Prabhupada wanted a big temple of Vedic planetarium because he wanted to have something to challenge the scientists, their conceptions. Because we know the scientists, they claim life comes from matter and that the whole universe came out of nothing. And people accept that. So people are not, and they're not only, they accept it, they've been educated like that since childhood, practically speaking. Most people in modern society, at least in Western society, and now even in Eastern society, just blindly accept that everything came out of nothing. Which I won't go into the details, but if everything came out of nothing, then why is not more things coming out of nothing? Nothing got tired and decided to retire for a while. It's pretty hard to produce everything out of nothing. It's a real challenge. And if everything, if all human beings came out of apes, why aren't more human beings coming out of apes? Why don't you go to the zoo and you notice, you know, someone who looks like your brother. And the ape cage. And you say, aha. So it's not really science, it's science fiction. But because they have a lot of money, they're able to build these huge temples for science fiction. Not only temples, but people are so confused and bewildered that they enter into these movies. They're so realistic. They actually believe that there are some basis of their movies nowadays. Like people went to see Avatar, which is not a spiritual movie, by the way. And they became depressed because they thought life on the planet of where the Avatar took place is better than our planet. So they'd like to go to Avatar planet. Maybe they'll have a sequence so people can go back there. They're feeling separation from that particular environment, which is probably, I think in that movie there's probably, it was effulgent, wasn't it, the planet? I see parts of it was, I don't know, someone must see it. It was effulgent, wasn't it? The planet, some of the planets at least were effulgent. And people could fly, they could ride the birds. And anyhow, it was more exciting than our planet. There weren't any cars ready to run you over, but there were dinosaurs ready to stomp on you. But they were all friendly to each other. In any case, so people always want some kind of better existence, but that better existence is generally not offered in modern society, so people have some great imagination. And the scientists are offering so many different things as gadgets to distract people. Computers, iPhones, whatever, movies, theater, huge skyscrapers to show how powerful they are. They tell us they have so many weapons that before they could only kill a few people at a time, now they can kill everyone. Someone falls asleep and leans on the button and we're all gone. So that's quite impressive to some people. To show another side of the spiritual potency and knowledge, Prabhupada wanted a big, something dramatic, something impressive, so that people would go there and appreciate how worthy or how intelligent, how consistent, how logical our philosophy is, although it runs contrary to the modern conceptions. That there is no God, and that there is no other living entities on any other planet, and that, etc., etc. So for that, Prabhupada instructed his disciples to create in Mayapur, which Prabhupada considered to be the center of the universe. One time Srila Prabhupada came to Miami, and he was giving a lecture, in Gainesville actually. He was giving a lecture, and he started out by appreciating that Gaur Nitai was there, the deities of Gaur Nitai were there. And he mentioned that they've come here to such a obscure, foreign place, so far away from Mayapur, which probably considered to be actually the center of the universe, what to speak of this planet. So he was considering that Gainesville to be a very remote place. Of course, maybe here in Slovenia, we also consider Gainesville to be a remote place. But in America, they wouldn't consider like that. So Mayapur probably considered to be the center of actual culture, although we may consider that Slovenia or America or other places consider themselves very cultural. But in the current terms of Veda conception, the Veda culture, then Mayapur is the center of culture, at least it used to be, and it has the greatest potential to become again. So he wanted this temple of Vedic planetarium to be built to showcase the Vedic philosophy in all aspects, cosmology, and also there'll be some other philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the spiritual world, the material world, how it's created. That's called the chandelier, and it's supposed to be able to accommodate, I think, 10,000 visitors inside the temple, and it's already being built. Ambarish Prabhu, who you may know, is Alfred, the grandson of Alfred Ford, He donated the original $25 million for the temple. And then they've also collected something, probably an equal amount, and they still have probably an equal amount to go to finish it completely. And then perhaps certain persons will be more inclined to come and visit this temple. And certainly in India, every year, they get, I don't know how many million or 2 million people come to Mayapur, which in India is not a lot when you have a billion, 300 million people there. If we got 1 million people in this temple, probably we wouldn't have a temple anymore. But in India, it's quite normal for a couple of million people to come to a festival like Kumbh Mela. But we expect even more people to come and observe the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. So on next Sunday, today's, or Saturday, the 24th is, today is the 15th, so we add 7, 22nd. When are they coming?
24th.
On the 24th. So that's probably next Tuesday. But Tuesday they're coming. What time are they coming? TV program. Oh, they have a program. Do you know what time? Oh. It'll be after, so that people can come after work, or?
Yes,
I guess so. So probably around 5 or 6, 6 or 7, they'll have a presentation of the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, and they're bringing Lord Nityananda's padaka, his shoes from Mayapur. He has a big foot. So we'd like, how many would be able to come to this presentation? There'll be a movie. Better than Avatar. Actually, he is an avatar, so... This is Avatar Part 2. So you can tell your friends that Avatar Part 2 is going to be at the Hare Krishna temple on Tuesday. Everyone's invited. And now as far as our philosophy goes, we don't have any time for that. Are there any questions? Yes.
How can we approach to can we have some meditation in our mind or
about what?
About him, about like inspiration.
About
to Lord Gadadhar.
Gadadhar Pandit. Well, we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, Gadadhar Pandit by himself, if we talk about him outside of his relationship with the Panchatattva and their mission and Lord Krishna, it's quite difficult to actually understand who Gadadhar Pandit is and why he came and what his feelings are. Therefore, especially, well, our philosophy is quite simple, but we have to have some background to it. And because it's dealing with something that we're really not that familiar with, it's dealing with something spiritual. Therefore, sometimes it's not so easy to understand. One time, Srila Prabhupada was having an interview in New York when he arrived at the airport, and two reporters came from a newspaper in America. And nice reporter, favorable. And every time he asked Srila Prabhupada a question, the devotees in the background would, when Prabhupada gave the answer, would go jai. They became very ecstatic. And so the reporter was quite amazed about the enthusiasm of Prabhupada's followers. So he asked him, he said, why are your followers so different? They seem so different. Of course, the way they dressed and their mannerisms and their expression was quite different from typical New Yorker. Yeah, you go, hi, how are you doing? To a typical, hey, what's with you? What do you got? What's on your mind, man? So they were quite expressive compared to the typical New Yorker. And Prabhupada said, yes, they have to be different because they're spiritual and you're material. So to understand Gadadhara Panda is so, not so simple. Even externally, to talk about what he was doing, it's a completely different culture that he was living in. Besides being spiritual, it was Indian culture or Vedic culture some hundreds of years ago. Plus, he was part of a mission. Plus, it was a mission to carry on, to manifest Krishna's pastimes 5,000 years ago. So it's not so easy, but it's possible. If we read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we chant their names and chant Hare Krishna, then everything will be revealed to us. But we should know that Gadadhara Panda is very dear to everyone, and if we get to know him, he'll become very dear to us also. He's a manifestation of Srimati Radharani. I was reading today in a book that, of course, this is a little bit more esoteric book, but it's called the Vilap Kusha Manjari. And in that book, Rati Manjari, who's a dear servant of Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani is going to cook for Krishna. Srimati Radharani cooks every day for Krishna, at least once a day or more. So she was feeling herself quite unworthy. She was wondering whether or not Krishna will actually accept what she has to cook. Because this is going on eternally, by the way. But it's not that Srimati Radharani has some self-esteem problem. Nowadays, if she expressed that openly, she would probably get arrested and put into a psychiatrist would come and ask her about, where she developed a self-esteem problem, and maybe she'd get a job and show her the world that she can actually do something. And so she was feeling something about, humility, which is quite foreign in modern culture. And she was asking Rati Manjari whether or not Krishna would accept the food. So in the commentary it was written that it's quite surprising. Srimati Radharani is the greatest devotee of Krishna. She is personally Krishna's energy for devotion, Shakti, expansion of Krishna for devotion. How is it that she's feeling such humility? So the answer is that love and humility, they go together. That the love actually the more the love is actually there, and the more the humility develops, and the more the humility develops, the more the love is there. So to understand the Panchatattva, in reality, we have to at least come to that platform of developing love with complete humility. Then we can actually understand who they are or what they're doing. That our acharyas also, they're all without ego. They're doing their service simply as a servant, in the mood of service, but spiritual service, without any false prestige or egoism. So that's almost inconceivable for a materialist to comprehend, who's working simply on the basis of false ego. So it takes some while to understand these things. Anything else? All right, what time is the RT supposed to be? Now, okay. Thank you very much. We invite you again to come to the TOVP presentation on Tuesday in the evening. But when will you find out what time they're going to be here or what time the presentation will be? How is everyone else going to find out in time? Okay, good. Thank you. So thank you very much. Gadadhara Pandit Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.